I'd like to thank all y'all for coming out. I know it's early morning on the third day of the conference, and my brain gets kind of overloaded on day one and a half, I think, so I appreciate you being here. Like you said, I'm Seth, and I'm this crazy title, Dual Microcapillary Barriers in Conjunction with Water Harvesting, Increased Reclamation Success. So I'm basically working on a reclamation technique for arid lands. So what am I talking about here? Dual microcapillary barrier. This is my microcapillary barrier, which is just a coarse sand. And the brown biscuit-like thing you see in the middle there is a clay loam. So that's the native soil of the region, and the sand, because of its difference in pore size, so it's quite a bit larger than the loam, will significantly reduce the evaporation as well as the percolation. And really importantly in these arid regions that I'm working is it's super salty. And so as the salts leach out of that biscuit, which is where the seeds are, they don't come back up because of the same reasons that the water doesn't escape. And I affectionately call this my reclamation pie. So I have three main things I want to hit on today. As we all know, water is vital, and in arid regions, it's especially important. Sand, which is my capillary barrier, suppresses evaporation, and it also acts as that one-way salt valve. So you can leach the salt out of the soil with very little water, and they don't come back up during high evapotranspiration periods. So I'm working in Wamsutter, Wyoming, which is this region right here. It's a high plains desert. We have a sagebrush steppe as one of our main communities. We also have a variety of grasses and saltbush out there, greasewood. And oil and gas development is huge. So this small section of land here has over 4,000 wells and 60,000 acres of disturbance up here. There's a lot more. This is the Powder River Basin. And there's tons of oil and gas up there as well, so this is not an insignificant thing for Wyoming, and North Dakota, I know, has a lot of the same issues and probably more disturbance. So if we look at Wamsutter, this is what a native region would look like. Very lush, I guess you could say, for a desert. These are two of our main different plant community types. We're looking at greasewood and sagebrush. Here's your greasewood and your sagebrush. Down in the lower one on the right is a saltbush and grasses dominated sites. So I have two field sites, and these are kind of typical ecosystems that they represent. I'd also like to point out that in the native region, there is still a significant amount of bare ground. So once you start looking at my technique, you may notice it doesn't cover wide areas, but that's all right, because the native system is very fragmented. So water is king, but really snow is the key. So as you'll see here, this is a 60-year average for precipitation in the area. And if you look at temperatures, then you could imagine error bars on these temperatures, that it snows from October to March. The snow sticks around, so it's super windy in Wamsutter. We have a pretty constant wind, 20 to 60 miles an hour, and so snow is constantly blowing around. And they're typically grading these sites on a pretty fine scale, and so they're pretty flat and pretty level. And so what we're going to look at is it's important to create some micro topography so that you can catch that snow as it's blowing around, not only as it's falling, but as it just redistributes across the sites. You'll also see it's not a lot. So precipitation, you know, it's arid. So the concept is evaporation is suppressed by sand. And in the field, we actually put in some sensors, but we're unable to quantify the water content because of problems. And I don't really want to get into it, but we did this instead. Sad times. So you'll see I have six different treatments. Three of them are different heights of mulch. So we have 1, 2, and 3 centimeters of sand mulch. And then we have those same 1, 2, and 3 centimeters of sand mulch, but we've put the lower capillary barrier below it. And so these columns are quasi-destructible. I can remove the 3 centimeters below the sand, and it's still ongoing. But at the end of this, I'm going to take that out and measure the water content of that small, what I'm going to call the seed germination zone. And we'll see how these different treatments affect the water content just below the surface. But some initial results. On the upper left, the big blue line is cumulative evaporation for the control. So it's just, it's almost linear. I'm sure it'll start to decrease here in the next week or two. I actually just took this last measurement on Friday, so still working. But you'll see that we have almost an 80% reduction in evaporation with just a single centimeter of coarse sand. And so it's super effective at stopping that water from escaping. On the right, I've zoomed in on just the treatments because they're obviously significant over the control. And I haven't run any statistics on these yet, so I don't know what's significant and what's not. But you'll notice the dashed lines are the treatments that have that lower barrier in them. And so up till now, at least the 3 and the 2 are just tracking perfectly with the treatments without the barrier. I'm going to expect that over time, those dotted lines will start to diverge like the upper one has, because water's redistributing up from the columns and the ones without the barrier, and so it's supplying all the evaporation that it could handle, as opposed to with the lower barrier, it's going to stop that water from moving up. So as soon as evaporation out of that little biscuit reaches or starts to tail off, it won't be able to get more water from the rest of the soil column. So in my field study, we're using that same concept. We're just using 3D pit structures, and we're trying to catch snow so we can grow stuff. These are my 6 treatments. The control is similar to what is normally done out there. We just broadcast seeded and then raked it in. They also do some broadcast seeding occasionally. The depression is just what it looks like. We just dug a hole. The capillary barrier, we kind of expected to fail, but for consistency thought we should have all permutations of this. And then the mulch, that's a sand, so you're looking at a clay loam, and then the kind of fuzzy stuff is sand. And then the reclamation pie with wings, we've extended that clay loam around the edges, and so my thought was as water rains down or snow blows in and melts along the edges, that clay will wick it towards the center. We didn't find any vegetation response to this, but it was a neat idea. So in the fall, we put these in. This was the fall of 2014. And this is what it looks like on the ground, these pits in the upper left. You'll see some data loggers in the back. They're connected to moisture and temperature sensors. On the right side in the winter, I'd like to point out all the snow you see in the back corner there is in the sagebrush, the native communities. So it does a wonderful job of catching snow. But you'll notice there's nothing where that's the reclaimed portion you're looking at there. And just with small topographic relief, so these are roughly 12 centimeters deep, these pits that we made, we're catching lots of snow. And when I was out there, we didn't see snow in every one of them, but every one of them was visibly moist. So you could tell that there had been snow, and you can see that pretty easily looking back into the photo. And then springtime came, and they did a wonderful job. This is what I was talking about, that it's all right that they don't cover up the whole land because naturally there's bare ground. And so it just zoomed in on one of my pits here, and I couldn't be happier. There's, I think, in this one, probably 80 grasses have grown. And if you go out into the remediator control plots, you're probably looking at a meter square. You'll find maybe 1, maybe 2. I did, this was an assessment of snow collection. Really the only thing I want to show here is that number 6 on this is the control. And so you'll see that it, these are 2 different sites. and that the control hardly caught any snow. So we're just quantifying that, yes, what you see out there with no snow actually happens. And then there wasn't much variation among pits or treatments, so just any sort of small variation will effectively catch that snow. So these are initial results. What you're looking at on the graph to the right is the months, April through July, represented in blue through red. And the upper site of Fralin 17.2 was a sagebrush site, and so it has a better better site conditions. There's a little more organic matter. There's not as much salt. It's still salty, but it's not considered a saline site. And if you look, the depression treatment, which is just pitting, no mulching, it was quite significant over the control, which is just reflecting that the catching of snow, and then the pie and the pie with wings didn't do as good as that. And I think that's that has to do with just a small amount of soil was maintained at wet, and but the mulch still was by far the best. And on the capillary barrier one, it was interesting because we could see that nothing grew in the little biscuit above the sand because all the water evaporated out of it like we expected. So there's this ring of dead, and then it was all growing around it, which is just basically saying that the pit worked. And so it's kind of misleading there if you just look at the numbers. But if you go down to the Fralin 9.6 site, you're looking at a much saltier site. It's definitely a saline site, mostly saltbush dominated. There's a fair amount of greasewood out there, and really this salt leaching structure of the pie and the pie with wings really did well there. So the water would come through and leach those salts out, and then they wouldn't come back up. We still haven't tested it yet, so we're still in the middle. At the end of the study, we're going to go through and take some EC measurements and try and quantify this, but we're able to show that this is really good at leaching salts because those were by far the best treatments. But you'll still see that the mulch was pretty effective. And in places where we didn't have the mulch, nothing grew. So I think we're taking away a couple things from this, is that microtopography is good, but if your site is super salty, you're going to need that mulch to retain that water. Because with sufficient water, you can still overcome these salt problems. So, with that, I'm running out of time. Just some basic takeaways from this is that water, we've had a lot of colleagues look at various chemical amendments, and water is really the key factor. So if you can catch that water, and if you can save it for use by the plants instead of letting it evaporate, that's really the best route to take. And that sand is a wonderful thing to use for protecting that water and protecting the soil from salinization. So with that, I'll take any questions. Oh, I'd like to acknowledge the WRRC and University of Wyoming. Dr. Jay Norton has been wonderful. He's my advisor. He's helped a lot with this and all the other folks. So, thanks.
Do we have any questions for Seth?
From a large scale point of view, right now you're using a small, from a large scale point of view, for you, like, almost like a thing to stop in the middle, sort of, caving, and then you were standing there instead of each small one. Is that
It's working. We're really limited on how deep we can go out here. These they'll only sow on these gas pads. They're very compacted, and so they come in and rip them up. So you can't go much more than about 30 centimeters deep. So they really have to be small out where we're working.
But even if you put the sand in there, okay, sand you sort of prevent evaporation going out in there. But when you actually put the sea, whatever, finally there, sand on top.
Oh, so we seed under the sand. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so the seed was in that little soil biscuit, and then it doesn't have any problem coming up through the sand. Yeah, no, that wouldn't work out very good if we just put it on top.
Yeah, and a follow-up question. I work in the Midwest, so I'm just thinking more about corn, soybean. So this would work as an interesting technology. It would be for perennial grasses maybe, right? So you don't have to disturb because you till the soil or something, which like, it might work in that case, right?
No, then you'd start incorporating it in. So I don't see much layover with ag in this because you'll lose your barrier as soon as you start tilling. So that probably wouldn't work so good. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Would you use the
No, we've definitely seen that they're filling in. So one of our sites is on top of a hill, and so it gets much more wind than the other one. And within a year, we've seen probably a 50% reduction in pit depth for those. But the main thing is that we establish those grasses initially, and so even after the pits fill in, hopefully those grasses are already living, and so. If they fill in over time, I don't know, we'll have to see this spring, but no, we're definitely seeing that.
All right, let's give Seth another round of applause.